The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Colts, Hidden Killers Investigates. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
In 1789, you know, just a few years ago, the people of France rose up against a monarchy that had starved them, taxed them into poverty, and lived in obscene luxury while they died in the streets. Historians have spent centuries examining the political, economic, and social forces that ignited the French Revolution. The bread shortages, the crushing inequity, the rigid class system that made upward mobility impossible for anyone who wasn't born into aristocracy. It is one of the most studied, most analyzed, most debated events in human history. And Bill Gothard had it all figured out in a pamphlet. He's such a genius, isn't he? According to former students and the watchdog organization Recovering Grace, Wisdom Booklet 18, it spent multiple pages on the French Revolution. Gothard reportedly identified the primary cause of the revolution, not one of several causes, not a contributing factor, the primary cause, as the fact that intellectuals of the era had rejected God-given authority. That's what it was. The intellectuals of the era, the people who were educated, who thought critically, they rejected God-given authority. That was the cause of it. Not the fact that people were literally starving, not the obscene wealth gap between the aristocracy and everyone else, not the political system that gave ordinary citizens no voice and no resource. The lessons of the French Revolution, according to the wisdom booklets, was that when people reject the authority placed over them, civilizations collapse. Now, if you're an adult reading that, you might recognize it as a deeply reductive and self-serving interpretation of a massively complex event. But the wisdom booklets weren't written for adults who had already studied history. They were written for children whose only exposure to history was this material. And those children weren't just learning about France, they were learning a rule. Authority is God-given, and rejecting it brings destruction. That wasn't presented as one historian's perspective. It was presented as a spiritual law, and it was being taught to children who were simultaneously being told to never question the authority of their father, their pastor, or Bill Gothard himself. Welcome to part four of our five-part series on the wisdom booklets. We've covered the curriculum structure, its pseudoscience, and what it taught girls about their bodies and their guilt. Now we're looking at what it taught every child about power, obedience, and who gets to hold the almighty umbrella. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube as we work our way through this. The links are in the description. And be sure to press subscribe while you're thinking about it right here, right now. If you're not taking us on the road with you in your vehicle, on your device, wherever you get podcasts. If you're watching us right now on YouTube, you can listen to us too. Wherever you're going on a podcast form, put it all the same stuff out there too. And there's extras, all sorts of exclusives there as well. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, wherever you get podcasts, and press subscribe. Okay. Every wisdom booklet contained a law and government section. And former students and reviewers have described these sections as the most overtly propagandistic material in the entire curriculum. These sections weren't teaching civics in any conventional sense. They weren't walking students through the structure of democratic government. The history of constitutional law or the principles of representative democracy. They were teaching Old Testament legal codes as the foundation for how modern society should be governed. Levitical statutes on diet, dress, and bodily practice were presented not as ancient religious observance, but as binding civil law that Christians were obligated to uphold, at least if you were part of the IBLP. Deuteronomy 22:5, a verse about clothing, was reportedly used to argue that women wearing pants violated God's legal code. Not his suggestion, his code. As in, it's not a preference, it's the law. The separation of church and state, one of the foundational principles of American governance, was positioned in the wisdom booklets as a deviation from God's design for society, not a protection of religious freedom, not a safeguard against theocratic overreach, deviation. The booklets reportedly framed it as a form of utopianism, a dangerous human attempt to organize society without divine authority structures. The implication was clear. Democracy without godly authority at the top is not just imperfect, it's inherently unstable. It's spiritually flawed. It is at its core rebellion against the way God intended human beings to be governed. If you're a child absorbing this material as your only education in law and government, here is what you will learn. You learn that all legitimate authority comes only from God. You learn that human authority structures, father over family, pastor over church, government over citizens, are divinely ordained. You learn that questioning those structures is the same as questioning God. So God forbid anybody in that structure is, you know, doing things for their own well-being or their own perverse needs or desires. Can't question it. You're questioning God, basically. You learn that every catastrophe in history can be tracked back to someone stepping out from under their umbrella of authority. Hurricanes, tornadoes, natural disasters, 9/11, everything. It's because somebody just stepped out of the umbrella. Shouldn't have done that. And you'll learn that the separation of church and state is not a freedom, it's a failure. A generation of children was educated to believe that secular governance is inherently inferior to theocratic rule. And they were told this was history. The brilliance, if you can call it that, of how this material was taught is that it never presented itself as opinion. It presented itself as fact. The French Revolution didn't collapse because of a complex web of social, economic, and political forces that historians have debated for centuries. No, it collapsed because people disobeyed. That's not a perspective offered for discussion. That's a law of the universe presented with the same certainty as gravity. When you teach a child that historical cause and effect is this simple, obedience equals safety, disobedience equals destruction, you don't just give them a bad understanding of the French Revolution. You give them the framework for interpreting everything that happens to them for the rest of their lives. Something went wrong? Well, someone clearly disobeyed. Your marriage is struggling? Well, one of you stepped out from under authority. Your child is rebellious? There's a leak in the umbrella. The framework is unfalsifiable because every negative outcome confirms it, and every positive outcome proves it was right all along. The content overview for wisdom booklets 29 through 54 makes the pattern even clearer. The later booklets included sections on, like I said, utopianism, the separation of church and state, and something called the role of man's will in sickness. That last one is worth pausing on. It suggests that illness itself can be traced back to failure of submission, that your will, if improperly aligned with authority, can make you physically sick. This is the logical endpoint of the authority framework. Everything bad that happens to you is your fault, because everything bad is the result of disobedience. The French Revolution, your flu, your daughter's depression, it all flows from the same root cause. Somebody stepped out from under the umbrella. But this theology didn't stay inside the booklets. It walked out of living rooms and into public institutions. The Character First program was created by a member of IBLP's board of directors and built around Gothard's character qualities, you know, because they were so great. Traits like obedience, attentiveness, and deference to authority. According to reports, the program operated out of an IBLP training center and was taught in public schools by ATI students. It presented Gothard's ideology in secular packaging, stripped of the overt biblical references and injected into public education without disclosing its origins. Teachers and administrators in those school systems may not have known where the material came from. They may not have known that the character qualities their students were learning were designed by a man who taught that questioning authority is spiritually dangerous and that the separation of church and state is a form of rebellion against God. The program was used in some public school systems for years. The political connections ran deeper. In the 1990s, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, a former Southern Baptist minister, if you can call him that, opened state prisons to Gothard's teachings. A prison chaplain in Arkansas built his rehabilitation classes entirely around Gothard's material. That chaplain was later charged with assaulting female inmates. The irony is staggering, but also extremely predictable. A system that teaches absolute submission to authority and blames victims for their own victimization was given access to one of the most vulnerable populations in the country, incarcerated women who had no power to refuse the teachings and no framework to report what happened next. Meanwhile, the Duggar family, IBLP's most visible ambassadors, were simultaneously promoting the organization's teachings and wielding political influence through their connections to organizations like the Family Research Council. The curriculum that taught children to never question authority was producing adults who carried that belief into political advocacy, public policy, and media. The pipeline was seamless. A child learns from the pamphlet that rebellion caused the French Revolution. That child grows into an adult who believes questioning institutional power is morally wrong. That adult enters a political system that rewards deference and punishes dissent. And nobody along the way ever tells them that the history they learned wasn't history at all. What makes the law and government sections of the wisdom booklets particularly dangerous is that they don't just teach obedience as a value. They taught it as a mechanism. The framework was mechanical. Authority flows from God to human institutions, and anyone who disrupts that flow invites consequences. Not human consequences, divine ones. Not political instability, spiritual destruction. A child raised in this material doesn't just grow up believing that authority should be respected. She grows up believing that her safety depends on submission, that the umbrella of authority is the literal spiritual shield, and stepping out from under it exposes her to forces she cannot survive. That kind of belief doesn't dissolve when you leave the organization. It follows you into every relationship, every workplace, every interaction with a person who holds power over you. You don't question your boss, not because you agree with him, but because questioning him feels existentially dangerous. You don't challenge your husband, not because the marriage is healthy, but because you were taught that resistance creates holes in the umbrella that put your children at risk. The theology of obedience becomes a prison you carry with you long after you've left the building it was taught in. But if you raise everybody to be too stupid to see all of this, they're none the wiser. Hence the Duggars, in my opinion. And here is the pivot that makes all of it collapse under its own weight. The man who wrote these booklets, who taught children that questioning authority is the root cause of civilizational collapse, who built the entire educational system on the premise that submission to human authority is submission to God, was himself accountable to no one. Bill Gothard was never ordained by a denomination. He answered to no seminary. He submitted to no theological review board. And for decades, the IBLP board of directors functionally rubber stamped whatever he decided. He was not under authority. He was authority. The man who told millions of people that stepping out from under the umbrella invites God's punishment had built himself a system with no umbrella above his own head. The curriculum taught absolute obedience. The author practiced absolute autonomy. The children who studied the French Revolution through Gothard's lens were taught that the revolutionaries were wrong to resist a corrupt system. But Gothard himself had built the most self-serving authority structure imaginable, in my opinion. One where the obedience followed upward. And all of it ended with him. He wasn't teaching history. He was constructing a cult or a theology of compliance with himself at the top. In my opinion, the irony would be almost elegant if it weren't so destructive. The same booklets that taught children the French Revolution was caused by disobedience to authority were written by the man who had arranged his entire organization so that no one had authority over him. The same law sections that framed Old Testament codes as binding civil law were produced by a leader who reportedly ignored his own board, evaded external accountability, and operated for decades without any of the checks and balances that legitimate institutions require. He taught theocratic governance was running a personal fiefdom. He taught divine order while building a structure that answered to no one person. Every page of the law and government sections was a mirror that reflected back at the man who wrote them, and he never saw his own reflection in any of it. The children who learned their history from these books are adults now. Some of them still carry the reflexive, deeply ingrained belief that questioning power is the same as rejecting God. Some of them have spent years untangling the difference between legitimate authority and manufactured control. And some of them are just starting to recognize the cruelest lesson of all. The man who taught them that rebellion destroys civilizations was running one of the most unchecked, unaccountable, self-serving organizations in American religious history. And questioning him was the one act of rebellion that might have actually protected them. In part five, the final chapter of this series, we're going to meet the adults these booklets produced. The ones who did everything the system asked. The ones who sat at the kitchen table and followed the plan. The ones who are now living with what it cost them. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're listening right now and going, yep, did that. I am sorry you were failed so spectacularly by those who claim to love you. There's a lot of other folks out there who share in that drama. If you'd like to share your story in the comments section, I'm sure it'd be valuable to many of them. We got a great community here of survivors and folks who've done this, been there, done that, and have found a way out. I welcome you if you're new. Check out the comments section. Check out our Substack. Check out our YouTube. Lots of great folks there sharing their stories of survival. Because if you came out of this thing and you're listening to this right now going, oh my God, that's horrible, you are a survivor. I know it sounds kind of like, what? You are. You are. And your voice deserves to be heard. And so do all of those who are still too fearful to speak out loud. Your thoughts again in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love to continue the conversation there. Press subscribe wherever you're listening as well. We do greatly appreciate that. Until next time, my name's Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. Cults, Hidden Killers investigates. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Her father decided that math through fractions was enough. That's as far as she needed to go. Fractions! Not algebra, not geometry, not basic math that every public high school in America requires for a diploma. Fractions. Because according to him, fractions were all she'd need for baking. That was the ceiling he put on her education. Not because he was cruel, not because he didn't love his daughter, because a man named Bill Gothard had told him that wisdom booklets
provided the equivalent of a college education, and that anything beyond what the system offered was not just unnecessary, it was spiritually dangerous. So fractions was it. And that girl is now an adult navigating the world that assumed she graduated from high school, carrying a credential that doesn't exist from a system that promised her parents she'd be prepared for anything. She's not alone. She's one of thousands of adults now in their 30s and 40s who were educated entirely through the ATI Wisdom Booklet curriculum. Just like the Duggars. They didn't drop out. They didn't fail. They did exactly what the system asked of them. They sat at the kitchen table. They worked through the pamphlets. They memorized the character qualities and the theme songs and the commandments of Christ. They did everything right. And then they stepped into the real world and discovered that everything they'd been given was worth almost nothing outside the walls of the system that gave it to them. This is the part of the story that doesn't make the documentaries. The headlines focus on the scandals, the allegations against Gothard, the Duggar family's implosion, the lawsuits, and those stories matter. But the quieter devastation is happening in apartments and offices and community college classrooms across the country, where adults who are promised a world-class education are trying to build a life with tools that were never given. This is part 5, the final episode of our series on the wisdom booklets of the IBLP and Bill Gothard. Welcome. If you've not watched our first 4 episodes on this, well, you're in for a treat. They're all available on the channel. Just to go back last couple of days, we've been dropping them 1 through 5. We spent 4 episodes pulling apart what was inside the curriculum, the incoherent academics, the pseudoscience, the victim blaming, the rewritten history. Now it's time to talk about what all that produced. The adults, the ones who are still here, still carrying it, still trying to build something from what was left. And as we get through it, I'd love to get your thoughts and comments in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Those links are in the description. In the early days of ATI, that's the Advanced Training Institute of the IBLP, families that had a student enrolled in college were reportedly denied membership entirely. The message was explicit. Higher education and the wisdom booklets were incompatible. Even after that policy was eventually relaxed, the philosophy behind it never really changed. College was treated as a spiritual threat. Gothard and the IBLP system taught families that sending their children to college, it risked having your faith destroyed by arrogant secular professors spouting ungodly philosophies. The word used by some within the system was that college would wash out a young person's beliefs, as if faith were a stain that higher education could just bleach away. Instead of college, young people were funneled into IBLP's own programs. They were apprenticeships and service positions at IBLP facilities around the country. You know, indentured servants, basically. There was Alert Academy, a military-style program for young men that began accepting participants as young as 17. It was described as training for emergency response and service, but according to former members, it functioned largely as a system of hard labor and rigid discipline that kept young men isolated, obedient, and inside the IBLP ecosystem during the exact years when they would otherwise be developing independence. It also made for great cheap labor, or flat-out free labor. Again, indentured servitude. These programs were presented as career preparation. They were marketed as alternatives to the dangerous secular university. In practice, they were holding tanks. They kept young adults busy, controlled, and dependent during the window when leaving would have been easiest and best for them. The cruelty of that timing is hard to overstate. The years between 18 and 22 are when most people build the foundations of their adult lives, the friendships, the skills, the credentials, the sense of self that carries them forward. Inside the IBLP system, those years were consumed by programs that produced nothing transferable. A young man who spent 3 years at Alert Academy didn't walk out with a degree.
a trade certification, or a professional network. He walked out with memories of physical labor, military-style drills, and spiritual conditioning. A young woman who spent those years serving at an IBLP training center didn't build a resume. She built someone else's ministry. When they finally left, if they left, they were starting at zero in their mid-20s, competing with peers who had been building for years. The system didn't just delay their independence. It consumed the years when independence was supposed to begin. The academic consequences were concrete and measurable. Graduates of IBLP's Oak Brook College of Law, a distance learning program run by the organization, discovered after completing their degrees that the education did not meet the statutory requirements for bar admission in most states. They literally could not practice law where they lived. One graduate described the realization with something close to bewilderment. When he started the program, he and his classmates believed with the Pollyanna optimism that IBLP cultivated in its members, as he later described it, that the laws would change before they graduated. Huh. That their godly character and bright shining eyes would open doors. He gave it 5 years after graduating before he accepted that the doors were not going to open. He went back to school, earned a bachelor's degree and an MBA through conventional institutions, took on student loan debt, and rebuilt his career from scratch. After having those years robbed from him by a religious cult, in my opinion. Another former student described a different version of the same problem. She had ACT scores high enough to qualify for scholarships, but her GPA, calculated from the wisdom booklet curriculum, was too low. The curriculum didn't produce transcripts that translated into conventional grading. Her aptitude was there. Her test scores proved it, but the system that educated her had given her nothing that the real world recognized as evidence of her aptitude. The gap between what she could do and what she could prove she could do was the gap the wisdom booklets left behind. For some, the gap was financial, student loan debt. They wouldn't have needed if they'd been properly educated the first round. Tuition payments for remedial courses and subjects they should have mastered as teenagers. Lost earnings. Years spent catching up instead of building careers. For others, the gap was professional jobs they couldn't apply for because they didn't have the credentials. Promotions they couldn't earn because their foundational knowledge had holes they'd spent years trying to fulfill, and holes so giant and gaping that everyone who looked at them was like, how did you not know this? Every one of these gaps traces back to a kitchen table and a pamphlet, and a promise that turned out to be a lie. The wisdom booklets didn't just cost these people their childhood education. They cost them years of their adult lives spent rebuilding what should have been built the first time. And then there's everything the wisdom booklets deliberately never taught. Multiple former members have described reaching adulthood without understanding basic reproductive biology, without any concept of consent, without the vocabulary to identify what was happening to them or the framework to report it if something went wrong. One former student described learning what assault was, not from her parents, not from her curriculum, not from any educational material she had ever been given, but from watching television news coverage of a political scandal. A national news story taught her what 12 years of wisdom booklets never did. Others have described not understanding their own bodies well into their 20s. Basic physiological processes that any ninth grade health class would have covered remain mysteries until they found the information on their own, years after they should have received it. The gaps were invisible from the inside, and that's what made them so insidious. The children didn't know what they didn't know. They couldn't identify the holes in their education because identifying holes requires a framework for what a complete education looks like, and they'd never seen one. They didn't know that other children their age were off studying biology, chemistry, and algebra. They didn't know that the pamphlets on their kitchen tables were missing entire subject areas. They didn't know the college equivalent education they'd been promised was fiction. I found out later, one rejection letter at a time, one failed entrance exam at a time, one humiliating workplace interaction at a time. The discovery wasn't a single moment, it was an accumulation of moments. Each one revealing another thing they should have learned and didn't. But the damage that runs deepest is not academic, it's psychological. Former ATI students have described ingrained patterns of guilt and self-blame that persist years, sometimes decades, after leaving the system. One former member described it with a clarity that's hard to forget. The misunderstandings are my fault. The things I see in hindsight are mistakes with my kids are my fault. And the list goes on endlessly. There's no grace, she wrote. Simply self-flagellation and blame. Others have described years of therapy to undo a single, deeply embedded belief that questioning authority in any context for any reason, puts them in spiritual danger. The curriculum didn't just under-educate them. It trained them to distrust their own judgment, to defer to the system, even when the system was wrong or actively abusing them. To interpret every personal struggle as evidence of their own spiritual failure rather than evidence that the system had failed them. The loss of agency hit women hardest. The system funneled them towards a single outcome and then removed the possibility of choosing it freely. One former member put the bitter irony into words. She'd probably have chosen to be a stay-at-home mother if she'd been allowed to finish college at an appropriate age. Instead, the path she might have walked by choice was imposed on her as the only option. The difference between choosing a life and being assigned one is the difference between freedom and control. And the women who grew up inside the wisdom booklet system can feel that difference every day. Not because homemaking is wrong, but because it was never supposed to be a cage. ATI ceased operation as an enrollment program in 2021. The organization quietly ended the system that had educated or failed to educate generations of children. But nobody went back. There was no remediation program for the adults who had been underprepared. No scholarships for the students whose transcripts were worthless. No outreach, no acknowledgement, no apology for the fact that an entire curriculum had been built on promises that were never true and claims that were never verified. The booklets just stopped. The enrollment program closed, and the adults it produced were left to figure it out on their own. They are still figuring it out. They are in their 30s and their 40s, filling in gaps that should have been filled in childhood. They are earning degrees they should have earned decades ago. They are still sitting in therapy offices, untangling beliefs that were installed before they were old enough to evaluate them. They are teaching their own children the things they were never taught: biology and boundaries and the difference between obedience and submission. Of course, unless you're a Duggar, then you're still following this shit show, still denying it, still exposing new generations to it, all under the umbrella of authority, in my opinion, allegedly. And the many, 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 many other families that didn't have a TV show following them around, that still subscribe to this shit in silence. They still exist. They're still producing people. They are doing all of this without a roadmap because the system that raised them never intended for them to leave. Some of them have found communities of other survivors and websites like Recovering Grace and Homeschoolers Anonymous where former ATI students share their stories with a candor that the organization never allowed. Reading those accounts, the pattern is unmistakable. The details differ, but the architecture of the damage is the same. An education that didn't educate, a theology that didn't liberate, and a system that called itself God's design while functioning as one of man's blueprints for control. Some of these survivors are not bitter. They're precise. They can name the booklet that taught them to distrust their own minds. They can name the lesson that made them afraid to ask questions. They can name the year they realized what they'd been given wasn't an education. And they're naming all of it out loud in public because silence is the one thing the system asked of them that they are no longer willing to give. The wisdom booklets did not fail in education. They succeeded at exactly what they were designed to do, produce adults who couldn't function outside the system that raised them. And now those adults are doing the hardest thing the system never prepared them for. They are functioning anyway, without permission, without a manual, without the approval of the man who told their parents this would be enough. They are building lives the booklets never accounted for. And that, more than any investigation, more than any documentary, more than any lawsuit, is the thing that proves the system wrong. This has been the textbooks of control inside the IBLP's wisdom booklets. Thanks for staying with us through this series if you made it all the way through. If you know someone who was raised in the system, share it with them. They'll know you're listening. And if you have an experience to share, if you are a survivor of this, share your story. Because suffering in silence doesn't help anyone. And not yourself, and not the many others. The thousands of children who this very day, in 2026, are sitting at a kitchen table with parents who still subscribe to this insanity and want to keep perpetuating it to the next generation and the next. You want to stand up for something? Stand up for those kids and help me expose this shit. And help those people, those kids, have a voice. Share this. And like I said, leave your thoughts. Press subscribe as well. We'll continue our conversation there in the comments. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.